Okay, welcome to the Stoppage Time podcast with myself, Ethan Moreland. It's been a very good weekend of football. We've had three games with five or more goals and a few, a 3-1, a 2-1, a 2-1, a 2-0, and a couple of 0-0s. So, yeah, it's been a good weekend of football. City running away with the Manchester derby, Liverpool held by Brighton at Anfield, Newcastle running riot at Fulham, Chelsea bagging a late winner through previous Palace player Conor Gallagher, and Arsenal running away with it at Spurs. I think the best place to start today is 100% going to be the Manchester derby. As it's fresh, I've just watched it. What a game of football that has been. Manchester United, wow, they looked like the team who played Brentford. They really did, but they are coming up against the City side who look invincible at the minute. It's strange, like, against the likes of United, they look invincible, but then they go against the Villa and they draw 1-1. Like, it's baffling, but yeah, City run absolute riot against United today. Like, the scoreline doesn't even reflect the, like, 6-3. City shouldn't have conceded any of those goals on the merit of how well they performed. Obviously giving away a late penalty as well. Anthony Martial bagging himself two, but the two stars in the, well, I think three stars in the limelight. Phil Foden, Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne. Wow. Erling Haaland bagging his third consecutive home Premier League hat-trick in a row. That is 9 goals in 3 games at home. He scored 8 goals in 3 games in his last, well, in his last 3 games, including aways. And Phil Foden bagging his first goal in a Manchester derby and his first Premier League hat-trick, which is, you know, it's an insane feat for a young lad from Stockport to do as a City fan as well. And then I said Kevin De Bruyne as well because that man is a magician. The balls he can put into the box, the play, his awareness of the game is just, he's on another level. You know, before the game, Haaland came out and said, if De Bruyne puts a ball into the box, I will score. And that he did. De Bruyne, he was involved in most of the goals to some degree, whether it be the pass before the assist or the assist. He just, I don't think we're going to get a playmaker like him in the near future. He just, I can't get over how good he is. You know, United in the game, they were coming into it very optimistic. You know, they hadn't lost since that Brentford game. They were coming into it with a 4-2-3-1 formation, which they left out Cristiano Ronaldo and Casemiro. And to me, that doesn't sit well with me because Ronaldo is a big game player. Big, big game player. Yes, he's not been at his best of recent, but I think he's the kind of player who should be starting. I don't think you start Marcus Rashford up top on his own in this game. I think it's Ronaldo because he's got the experience. He's done it for years. He's, you know, late 30s. The man's been in these big games since he was in his early 20s. And then to also bench Casemiro in one of your biggest games of the season and play Scott McTominay. Like, yeah, Scott McTominay's been good, but it's just baffling to me that you can play Scott McTominay over Casemiro in a game like this. Scott McTominay is not a good player. Since Casemiro has come in, Scott McTominay has played well. He's put in the performances to keep his place. But Casemiro is one of the best in the world. He is a £70 million man at the age of 30. He's not in his prime. He's sort of post-prime. And you're paying £70 million for a man who you've not started once. It's baffling to me. And I think this was the game where you do start him because I think then it changes the game. I think you don't go 4-0 down in the first half if you've got Casemiro in midfield. You know, the man who in the Club World Cup got man of the match for Real Madrid. Like, it's just, I don't know. And Varane and Martinez, you know, I was always wondering how that partnership was going to work with Haaland pressing against them. They just, Martinez was not quick, neither of them were quick enough. Martinez was not tall enough to deal with him. Obviously, one of the goals came from where, so it was interesting. So Varane was marking on the edge of the six-yard box, and then the one time he's off the pitch because of an injury, look what happens. Edge of the six-yard box, Erling Haaland comes in, bags himself a goal. I think Luke Shaw came on for United in place of Malacia. Malacia looked lost in that game. He looked like it was too big for him. The pressure, was it got to him slightly. And I think Luke Shaw coming on, I think he did change the game. I think Luke Shaw is building some confidence again. You know, he's getting there. You don't want to push praise on him yet. I like Luke Shaw. I really do like Luke Shaw as a player. I think he's what, you know, he's what England need. He's what United need. But he just seems to go through phases where he just, he looks lackluster. He doesn't care, but he has got the talent in there. And you know, I think he's going to be fighting Malacia for that place sooner rather than later. But yeah, they just, United looked off it. You didn't see any of Sancho in that game, like literally anything of him, nor of Marcus Rashford, which just sort of shows where they're at. When it comes to these big games, like, yeah, they beat Arsenal, and that was it. They played really well in that game, but City are a different breed. This title is going to, this is the thing, Arsenal, we'll get into them later, but the title race this year looks like it's set to be between City and Arsenal. And Arsenal, the only chance Arsenal have got of winning this title is by being consistent, because so far we've seen City a bit inconsistent in certain games, you know, against like Palace, they went 2-0 down, draw with Aston Villa, it's just stuff like that. Like City, they look like they can run riot on anyone, and I'm afraid to play them as a Liverpool fan. But I think the way Arsenal win is by consistency, and the way City lose it is by dropping points against the likes of Villa and those kind of teams. But yes, let's go. We'll get into City now. Man, they went for a 4-3-3. I'm not even, I can't lie, Akanji, he was one of those signings where you sort of look at it and you're like, you know, he's a good player, played Champions League football for a while. He, you know, he's done it at Dortmund, but he was never like a big name that was floating about, and then all of a sudden City went and signed him. And it happened over the course of a few days, according to Akanji. So it was a bit of a shock to everyone. But he fits in there so well. Like, he is, he's so good. He runs the defence very, very well. I think once you've got John Stones or you've got Diaz back in that squad, I think it's going to be a problem to score against this City side. Like, Nathan Ake, he's a good player, but he's not as, I wouldn't say he's as consistent as the likes of Stones or Diaz. But it's going to be very, very good to see, you know, Akanji and the likes of Diaz play together. Jack Grealish, another one. I thought that he had a very good game this game. He was very creative on the ball. I thought he was very, very skillful. And he's looking like he's grown, since he got that goal against Wolves, I think he's grown a bit of confidence, which is good to see. Playing in that front three with Haaland and Foden, I think he's, you know, he's in the shadows a bit, but I think he's going to grow into it. I would like to see him grow into it as that £100 million man. It'd be pretty sad to see, you know, him just drop off and he wasn't the man that we thought he was, kind of thing. But Erling Haaland and Phil Foden, what a scary, scary duo they are in this game. Like, Haaland himself is ridiculous. 13 goals in 8 games, 3 hat-tricks in 3 home games, and 8 goals in 3 games. Like, what? It's just on another level, this kid. I think for you know, his dad was saying he might end up going to a new team every few years to try it out in every league. But if he stays, if he could stay in this City squad, they, no one's challenging them for a title in the near future. No one, literally no one. He's just so scary. They were missing that number nine. City were, because they weren't playing Jesus there, and then they've literally brought in the perfect man, and it's so, so scary. But to come away with a 6-3 against United, like, that should have been a 6-1, 6-1, 6-0, one of them along those lines. It just, yeah, that was just a scary, scary game. And then the other fixture for the Sunday was the 0-0 Leeds against Aston Villa. Sinisterra getting sent off. Silly challenge, and then a silly, you know, block to make from a free kick. You're always getting booked for that, for time wasting. Don't be doing that kind of thing. But Aston Villa looked, even when Leeds went down to 10 men, Aston Villa looked pretty poor. They looked on the back foot. You know, although Coutinho hit the post, I think Leeds were looking like the more lively ones, the ones who were going to score. And I struggle to see where Aston Villa are picking up a lot of points this year. They're going to be scrapping for, like, really scrapping for wins against, you know, the sort of relegation bound teams. It's going to be a tough one for Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa. They're currently sat in 14th on 8 points. You know, 2 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses. It's a hard one to see. Like, yeah, they, on the outside, it looks okay, but I think as the season goes on, they're going to drop further and further down towards that relegation zone, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they get on. But Leeds, you know, Jesse Marsh was banned from this game, so they didn't have him, like, giving his, you know, sort of feedback from the sidelines. But I like the look of Leeds. Rodrigo's back as well from a shoulder injury. He looked to sort of provide something that they were missing for the few games he was gone. Like, he's, compared to last season, he's looking incredible. He's looking like he's settled into that squad. He's looking like he is trying to be more and more creative and, you know, making chances, trying to score goals. He just looks really, really good in that Leeds side. And, you know, I'm liking the look of sort of Brendan Aaronson and playing in behind him. Sinisterra is looking like a very good player, but, you know, again, silly challenge, silly time wasting, gets himself sent off. It just changes the game. I think if he doesn't get sent off, I think Leeds come away with the result in this one. I think they win it 1-2, 3-0 maybe, because Aston Villa just don't seem to gel. They just really don't seem to gel. They have chances, don't get me wrong. Like, Phil, again, like I said, Philip Coutinho hitting the post. Ollie Watkins looks like he just doesn't have it as a Premier League player. I think he just doesn't have that goal-scoring ability, the natural sort of number nine position that he's playing in. You know, Leon Bailey doesn't look like the player that we saw in the Bundesliga a few years ago. I just think they're really going to struggle this year. It's going to be hard to see where they pick up the points, but, you know. And then, so yeah, we'll move on to Saturday's fixtures. We'll start at the North London Derby, because obviously that was the first game of the weekend. Arsenal run away with it 3-1. And for me, this is an interesting one, because I've written down a few points for this one. I think we'll start off, Arsenal played very, very well. They did play better than Spurs, but at the time, it was 1-1 when Emerson Royale gets sent off. No, 2-1, sorry, when Emerson Royale gets sent off. It's a close game. It was a silly challenge, but I don't think it's a sending off. I don't think it's a sending off, because he's not intention. He's gone to block the ball, and yes, he's late. Yes, he's caught his ankle, but it was not a high challenge. It was not intentional. I just think, and also I think, given the sort of the environment that it was done in, I don't think that should be a sending off. I think derbies are a bit different. The intensity of the game is much tougher to deal with, I think, as a referee. And I think you need to look at these with a bit more hindsight as to is this going to ruin the game? And I think this really did ruin the game. Although, you know, I don't think we saw much. We didn't see much of Kane, really. He looked a bit off it. Yes, he got the penalty, but he just looked a bit off it. Like, Arsenal looked on another level, really. Thomas Partey, you know, he's... Oh, what a screamer. Not only did he score a screamer, but the role he plays in that midfield, sort of sitting in front of the defence with Granit Xhaka, he controls everything. He's making challenges. His awareness of where everyone is on the pitch when he picks up the ball. He's a very good leader, I think, in terms of that midfield. But not only that, he has also brought out the best in Granit Xhaka at the start of this season. Like, we look back a few years ago when Granit Xhaka was club captain, and had the captaincy taken away from him because of his poor performances, because of the way he was getting on with Arsenal fans. You know, they were booing him as he was on the ball. They were booing him when he was coming off the pitch. It looked like he was set to leave. And now he looks like a completely different man. He looks like a completely different man in that midfield. He, you know, controls games well. He doesn't make as many silly challenges as he used to. I think taking the captaincy away from him was probably a good thing. I think it's taken the spotlight away from him, and he can just focus more on his football itself. Yeah, he's just looking like a very, very good player. Sat in that two with Thomas Partey. And yeah, they just, you know, he got himself a goal. Partey got himself a goal. They look very, very good together. And I think that if them two can stay fit, can stay playing together, I think they're going to cause a lot of problems for many players who are trying to get through. And yeah, Jesus bagged himself a goal. You know, I think we kind of expected that one off the back of being snubbed by the Brazil squad. You know, he didn't play. I think he's trying to prove a point coming into this World Cup, and I think he's really going to be able to do it if he can. The thing is with Jesus is he's not like a two or three goal man. He's a one goal every here and there, but I think he needs to really step up his game if he wants a chance of playing it for Brazil in Qatar. It's going to be a tough one for him, but I think he's got it in him to do. But yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. He's, you know, bagged himself a nice goal in a London derby. It looks good. But Arsenal sat top, 7 wins and 1 loss, which against United, I don't think really they should have lost. So they're doing really, really well. And again, just going to mention Saliba, because Saliba at the back, he looks like a pinnacle 27-year-old centre-back. Looks like he knows the game, reads the game so well. He's on top of everything. He's a really good player to watch. Like, I'm really, really excited by a player like that, because I played centre-back myself, and to see someone play as well as he does at such a young age, like, he's younger than me. It's crazy. It's a really, really good watch. And obviously, you know, this puts Spurs in a bit of a tough situation in terms of, I think they'll be fighting for Champions League, but there's no title fight for them. You know, losing games like that to Arsenal, you know, they've got I can't see them fighting for any. I can see them fighting for maybe the Carabao Cup, but nothing other than that this year. I think Carabao Cup would be a good season for them, if I'm quite honest with you. And then after that, we'll move on to Liverpool-Brighton. Now, this one pisses me off because attacking-wise, we're very, very good. Defensively, we look like these players have never played with each other. But, you know, Trent and Van Dijk and Matip played alongside each other for years, and it's like, it was hard to watch. Like, fair play to Brighton and their new manager, De Zerbi, because they showed Liverpool's holes, their problems, and they did it very, very well. Like, you know, Leandro Trossard bagging the first hat-trick since Arshavin in 2009 at Anfield. And he looks like a clinical finisher, but I don't want to take away from Trossard and his hat trick. I don't want to take away from Brighton. Liverpool defensively looked scared. They looked very, very scared when Brighton were attacking. And to be honest, Brighton should have walked away with the win. They should 2-0 up. They should have walked away with it. Really should. I think they sort of switched off during that early second half. And and Sanchez made an error with the corner, goes to punch it, completely misses the ball. Adam Webster with the own goal. I think they've got some work to do, Brighton, but they do look like a very good side. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're fighting for, Conference League, Europa League, that kind of position this year. And I think they could do it pretty convincingly. They're currently sat fourth with, played seven, so they've got a game in hand. They could realistically be level on points with Tottenham when they play that game in hand, which is, it's wild. Like, who would have thought Brighton at the start of the season would be sat with 4 wins, 2 draws and only 1 loss? Like, it's crazy to think about. But, I think Trent again was poor. He was really, really poor. He looked lackluster. He looked like he wasn't completely with it. I don't know. He looks a bit like Luke Shaw at the minute, just unmotivated, like he really can't be arsed. And it's frustrating for me, really, because he's a very, very good player attacking. He's mega, like I've said. Like, if you put England in a back five, he's the wing back you go for, because his defensive duties are sort of relieved slightly. But as soon as you put him in a back four, he looks problematic. He looks like he's got issues. It's a tough one, really. They look like they're really playing in the shadow of last season, and it's hard to watch. If I'm honest, like, I put a bet on at the weekend, and instead of putting Liverpool to win, I put Everton to win because I thought that was a more likely result given the way Brighton have played. Like, that's, whereas last season Liverpool you would have put to win every single week. This is just the way it is. It's a tough one. It's going to be a tough game in midweek against Rangers. Brighton are looking very, very good at the minute. Yeah, it's hard to see. We're sat in ninth. Ninth on 10 points. 2 wins, 4 draws and a loss. Like, it's so tough. But what can you do, you just got to sort of take it on the chin at the minute and hope with this bad patch. Then next we'll move on to Fulham against Newcastle. Now, Newcastle ran riot at Fulham. Absolutely ran riot. But I think that red card in the 8th minute for Chalobah changed the game completely. Fulham crumbled under that pressure of 10 men. And yeah, I just think the outcome of the game then was completely different. I think Fulham would have maybe got a result. Everyone was sort of expecting them to get a result if it was, if it was 11v11. But yeah, once Chalobah was sent off, that was it for them, I think. But we'll not take away from Newcastle's performance. They were clinical. Almiron, especially, he scored an absolute screamer. That volley on the outside of his foot was unbelievable. But he also bagged himself another. And I think Almiron is a player we looked at a couple seasons ago. I'm like, who the fuck is this kid? Like, he doesn't seem to do anything. He looks weak, but he seems to be slowly, slowly growing. And I don't think he's going to be Newcastle's answers for the next few seasons, but I think he's still going to be a part of the squad. I still think he's going to be there. He's going to be, I think he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be making substitute appearances. I think he's going to be one of those sort of super sub kind of players. It's going to be really interesting to see how he develops over the next few years. He's still quite young. He's still got room to improve. He moved to the Premier League. I think it was from the MLS. It's a big step up. Takes time. So it'll be good to see how he gets on. But, I think Newcastle, there's still improvements to be made in that side. But it's going to be a slow process. Like that, I think so far they have signed the right players in Isak. Signing Alexander Isak, the likes of Bruno Guimaraes, they're bringing in. Why can't I think of who they bloody brought in? Bringing in Kieran Trippier, Nick Pope, Sven Botman, Dan Burn. I think they're very good. The players they should be bringing in, they're the ones they need to be bringing in. But I think they're sort of a stepping stone to the next lot. Or like, Isak is the one for the future, I think, for them. He was injured for this game, obviously didn't get a game. But he's the one for the future. I think Trippier is going to be leading that squad as captain. Pope is going to be there. But I think, like Dan Burn, I don't think he'll be in that sort of where they're fighting for the Champions League. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's not like a top four kind of man. And they've still got players to get rid of, like Josh Murphy. He just played in that front three with Wilson and Almiron, and Josh Murphy looks shit. A 4-1 win, and you look shit. I just don't think he's one of those players. You either bench him or you sell him. You don't start him. You don't start a kid like that. He's not proven in any which way. He's just not. Yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement. I think defensively they look strongest there, with Nick Pope in that back four of Dan Burns, Sven Botman, Shaw, and Kieran Trippier. I think that's what they need to stick with this season. Hopefully none of them get injured and they'll look better. But it's a tough one for Fulham as well. Mitrovic coming off in the 36th minute, I think it was, with a foot injury. Once he's gone, you don't really see where they're getting goals. It's a hard one for them. They've brought in the likes of Willian and Kurzawa, they've got experience at the top, but they're coming towards the end of the career, and it's a tough one for Fulham. If Mitrovic's injury is worse than what you could hope, I think they're going to struggle in the next few games with getting goals, especially. 100%. But yeah, good win for Newcastle. And then Everton played Southampton. Now, I put Everton in a little treble, won me $100. Can't complain, can't complain. Lampard has turned this team around. They look relegation bound at the start of the season, after the way it ended last year. And now, if I'm honest, I can't see them getting relegated with the way they're playing. They're, sat on the same points as Liverpool, which is pretty depressing. But, two wins, four draws, two losses. I think as an Everton fan, you would take that at this point of the season. I think, defensively they're looking very good. Tarkowski and Cody, both experienced Premier League players. They look solid. They look like quality leaders. It's going to be one of those seasons where Everton, they're going to get through. I think they'll just finish mid-table, but no one's going to worry about them. But it was good to see Cody and McNeil get the first goals for Everton. McNeil's was a good finish. Cody's was like a striker's finish, to be honest. But in hindsight to that, Southampton did switch off. Like the three goals in the game came within, I think it was 8 minutes of each other. Where Everton looked poor during that Southampton goal, but then after that, Southampton just completely switched off. And defensively, they just weren't marking the men. They weren't first to the ball. They just looked lackluster. It was a yeah. They just looked lost, if I'm honest. Southampton are going to struggle this year, I think. I think Hasenhüttl's, this is going to be a season where we sort of say goodbye to him. He doesn't look like the player. He looks like he's sort of lost the dressing room, which I think inevitably that was going to come at some point, but it's taken a lot longer than what we thought it would. They've brought in quality players, don't get me wrong, but the players aren't gelling. I don't think they're working under Hasenhüttl's. sort of philosophy and his tactics. So I think it may be time for change at Southampton. Now, Chelsea walking away with a 2-1 victory at Palace, you know, at Selhurst Park. Graham Potter's first win. Looks like Aubameyang maybe is missing piece in that number 9 position, you know, with the way he scored that goal. He looked, it was a clinical striker's finish. But there's still a lot of work to do in that side. They look like they don't gel very well. You know, Palace looked unlucky. That first half, Palace maybe should have been 2-3 up. Thiago Silva shouldn't have been on the pitch. Should have been sent off, in my opinion, for the way he pushed the ball away. That's a blatant handball. It's a blatant red card. You can't do that. If you do that in the box, that's a red card. So why is it different up the pitch? Like, I don't know. It was a bit of shithousery, to be honest. But yeah, to take a 2-1 win doesn't reflect the way the game was, the way it was played. Obviously, Gallagher getting a, scoring a decent goal on his comeback to Selhurst Park. It's a good 3 points for them. You know, they're sat in fifth. 4 wins, a draw and 2 losses. It's going to be, I think it's going to take a bit of time for the team to gel, given how many players they've brought in. But, you know, it's one of those, it's going to take time. But I must say, Chilwell did get his first 90 minutes since his big injury this season. Obviously, Cucurella was ill, missed out through illness. And, you know, I think if Chilwell manages to keep his position in this Chelsea squad, I think he's going to be the man for England at left back. I think he's going to take that position over Luke Shaw. Yeah, it's just, it's going to be one of those. We're going to have to see how it goes over the next sort of few games in the build-up to the World Cup, because I feel like Shaw might get more game time than him, if I'm honest. If Shaw played the way he did against City when he came on, it's more likely he's going to play than Chilwell, because Chilwell does, it looks like his tough competition in that Chelsea squad with Cucurella to get for that left-back position. And then West Ham, you know, they get a 2-0 win at Wolves. Scamacca gets his first goal, decent finish. And Wolves look to be struggling. They really, really look to be struggling. They've got one win this season. And they are sat in a relegation zone. They're sat 18th. 1 win, 3 draws, 4 losses. They have scored the third... Oh, no, they've scored the least goals this season out of any team. They've scored 3 goals all year. It's very, very poor. You can see that they're struggling with, obviously, the striker problems. But when Diego Costa did come on, he did make an impact. Like, he set up the goal that was given offside. I think he could be part of the answer to the troubles, but I think Jimenez just is, after his head injury, he's just not been his best. He's definitely struggling there. So it would be good to see how that improves, if you give him a little bit of time to sort of get back to it, and obviously with the pressure taken off with Diego Costa there. But West Ham's new signings look to be gelling pretty well. They look, you know, like Scamacca, Paqueta, they look to be fitting in well into the squad. It just, I think with Scamacca, he isn't an out-and-out goal scorer, but I think he is a very creative player, and I think he will work well in that sort of West Ham system. And then, last game to talk about, Bournemouth-Brentford. It's Bournemouth, you know, they're looking good. They are unbeaten since O'Neill was put in charge as interim. I think it's going to be one of those where they're going to find it hard to justify signing anyone else when he's playing as they're playing as well as they are. It was a decent game, but I think Bournemouth just lacked a finisher. They lacked that goal scorer, which is the problem. They could have scored a few times, but they just don't have that out-and-out striker. You know, they've scored the third least goals in the league this season, which we kind of expected from a Bournemouth side. But, you know, they're playing well. They're getting points on the board, unbeaten in the last few. It's looking good for them. But Brentford, They looked off it compared to how they've played in recent weeks. But again, they got a point on the board. Both teams got a clean sheet. You can't really knock them. And then obviously tonight, Leicester play Nottingham Forest in the Midlands Derby. Both teams have not won in 5 games. It's going to be, I think Leicester walk away with this one, if I'm honest, Nottingham Forest. It's that thing, isn't it, that you sign 20-odd players, how are you expecting any of them to gel? It's a really hard one for them. But Leicester need this win, because I think if they don't get it, then Rodgers is gone. I think that's inevitable anyway, but yeah, I think if they don't get this win, Rodgers is gone, and we're really struggling to see how they get out of this bad situation this season. Yeah, it's definitely a tough one for them. But midweek fixtures, we've got Champions League back again. You know, we got Liverpool playing Rangers at home. That's going to be a tough game. I think Rangers, the harder game's going to be at the Ibrox. I think it's next week. But I think Liverpool really need to put it on them and sort of show what we have. Otherwise, this season's going to be a long one as a fan. You know, we've got Barca, Inter, that'll be a good game. Tottenham, Eintracht Frankfurt. Tottenham really need a win in their group as well. You know, they're currently sat second, but they're definitely in need of a win there after losing the last game to Sporting Lisbon 2-0 in the last couple minutes. We've also got any good games. Celtic, Red Bull, Leipzig. That'll be a tough test for Celtic. Hopefully they get away with a point or a win. You know, they're in a tough group. Let's be honest. They got a draw against Shakhtar. They lost against Real, but put in a very, very good performance. But it'll be good to see how they do against the Leipzig team that haven't been doing too well this year. We've also got Chelsea, Milan. That'll be a very good game to watch. It'll be definitely a tough test for Graham Potter, with Milan sat third in Serie A this season. City play Copenhagen. I think that's just going to be an absolute walkover of a game. And PSG play Benfica, which I think is another one to watch. But I'm not going to go too much into the Champions League, because I'll get into more of the analysis after the games. It's a good round of midweek fixtures. And then obviously the Premier League at the weekend. So I'll be doing another podcast on Thursday, rounding up the Champions League and looking at some of the Europa League and then Premier League games coming up at the weekend. Thank you very much for listening. Again, with me, Ethan Morland, host of the Stop of Time podcast. It's been a good one. Hopefully Liverpool get some better results, but I think that comes with time. Thanks again for listening. See you at the next one.